Good morning and welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. And it's a Tuesday and it's getting fairly warm. Maybe that's because I have the heat on like the highest heat level I can put it. Welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. As always, I'm here until the hour of 11. Albeit it's worth pointing out that we are going to have this program is going to be interrupted today by a live stream of the Ongwe Diva Trade Fair that is coming to us at 10, and I will just as soon as my tech guys reach out to me and say, you know, boss, we are moving to, you know, we have to switch to the live stream, have a good day, whatever content you have left, please, we'll just don't lose it, keep it safe, and we will, you know, be looking forward to hearing it tomorrow. Something worth pointing out. This program is going to be interrupted by is going to be interrupted by the official opening of the Ongwe Diva Trade Fair live streaming, which will be live streamed here on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. And 10 o'clock is the starting time according to the official, official announcements being put out. And what's the correct word to use there? Factoring in African time, we can actually, you know, fingers crossed, at least for me, I want to cross my finger and hope they go an hour late and then start at 11. So. Oh boy. I want to start with the less, with the depressing news. Depressing in a way. It's not much about, it's not really about, the news is not really depressing. It's just something I find, depressing is not a word I want to go with. I want to go with the fascinating. And, one very smart woman pointed this out to me. She's Iranian from from the content and from the content she's she was putting out she observed something that in a recent, and this is basically how she starts a video, that she observed something in a recent fireworks exchange between the US, Qatar, Israel, and but mainly between Israel, Israel and Iran. She observed that, there are a lot of, there are a lot of people, in her country, which, which is Iran, and, including her own family members, that are calling for a military, a military intervention of, a different country to, aka the US, basically everyone with the air power or more like military power to come and remove the government that they have, that they have been, in their country and bring them democracy. At this point, as you can imagine, when she's just going this video, I'm like, okay, what's she gonna say next? That's not a bad thing. Well, if you don't like, if you don't like the guy in office, well, it's not unheard of to call for regime change. And then she points out something that actually burst my bubble. Like, one thing you have to, understand is that maybe a lot of you people were very young when, during the Iraqi invasion back in 2003. That's when she goes into a history lesson now, and, which I actually, which I personally enjoyed. And the first example she uses was that, in Iraq during the Saddam Hussein regime, as you can imagine, there were opposition parties, and there were a lot of people that were followers of these opposition parties that did not agree with, Saddam Hussein's way of running the country. And, which is not something that's only unique to Iraq. Opposition parties exist in each and every in all countries. And these opposition parties have followers, if I can use that, or members, or people that agree with how things should be done. Now, then she goes on to point out that a lot of these opposition party leaders and their followers, they thought they thought, as you can imagine, before the invasion of Iraq, out of the kindness of their hearts, you have to forgive them on this one. Although it's too late now because, well, millions dead and, thousands, if not millions dead and millions and if not more than a million displaced. And Iraq has never recovered before. But the point she was making was that every time there's a disagreement at home, try as much as possible to sort it out without external invasion, without external intervention. Because there is not a single, historical record of external intervention that did not end with even more trouble, not only for one, but basically the entire country. Now, that, I couldn't help but think about Libya at this point now, because now I'm thinking, okay, you know what? There were people that, she does point out, because Iran and Iraq share border. She did point out that there were people that were cheering on the Bush administration invading Iraq to topple Saddam. There were people within Iraq that were cheering on the invasion. While the entire, there was a, the 2003 invasion of Iraq saw one of, if not the, at least for me, the biggest anti-war protest I've ever seen that stretched from the north and, stretched from North America all the way to Europe, France, Germany, especially the UK. So, as you can imagine, while people in the UK and in the US were protesting for their government not invade Iraq, it turns out there were people in Iraq that were like, oh, you know what, please bring us democracy. 20 years of war later, Iran has never recovered. Now, at this point, I can't help but ask myself one question. Now, because I like to use myself an myself as an example, because, I hardly get pissed at myself. And even if I get pissed at myself, it's not like I'm going to punch myself in the teeth. Because, I know how important the teeth are, especially the front one. Now, if I was one of those people that was cheering on the invasion of Iraq to topple this dictator called Saddam Hussein back in 2003, like at this point, if you were one of those people that were, that thought, a foreign entity, aka the US military, will just, come into your country, topple Saddam Hussein, and then, just take their hardware and go back to the US and leave you to run your country in the most independent, in the most democratic, and leave you with all your natural resources unexploited. Now, if you know one thing or a thing or two about geopolitics, you know that's daydreaming. First of all, I think a lot of us have watched a lot of war movies that, that have ended with, the good guys taking down the bad guys, and then everyone is left happy, saying, thank you very much for rescuing us from that dictator. But in reality, wars don't work like that. If there is a foreign military rolling into your country, whoever is funding that army is after something that's within that country. Let me put it this way. They are not there to be this diabolical, evil villains. No, it's just how geopolitics work. One simple thing to put, one thing a lot of us have watched one too many, movies, war movies, and played a lot of war games. We don't ask ourselves that is just how expensive military hardwares are. So as you can imagine, if military hardwares are that, and they are expensive, believe me, really expensive. If they are that expensive, what makes you think someone will bring those hardwares in your country, burn it up, just for your freedom? Absolutely not. Whoever is burning that hardware, Because the invasion of Iraq started with Tomahawks. Now, these are cruise missiles. You just launch them from any platform, be it, destroyers, aircraft carriers, or whatever platform you have them on, or submarines. They can be launched from any of these platforms. And you have to understand that these submarines is being operated by very trained, very funded, very, you know, very experienced crew. In translation, someone invested money in all the funding, training, and all these equipments. What makes you think they are going to burn it down just for free? Now, that for, you know, that for me is, I think, what a lot of people fail to understand. And a lot of people now, you know, fast forward to Libya 2011. A lot of opposition parties of the, you know, Muammar Gaddafi regime, you can imagine they had the same perspective. That, you know what? This guy is so bad. So instead of just, you know, spanking him and his army, how about we just, you know, how about we just get some, you know, NATO coalition to come and bomb the heck out of him? And then after they finish the bombing, I'm sure they would just pack their bags and leave. You know what? They never do. They never do. They don't. So when I started thinking of that, I started going, hang on a second. This is an interesting perspective to look at politics from. That it's not that you are going, it's not that you have to, look, I'm not saying you have to agree with anything that the person that's in office is doing. Because, well, for one, you're not a robot. Or two, you will have to be an idiot to do that. Only idiots will agree with anything, including to, you know, things that does not benefit them. Now, as a human being, it's normal to question authority. There's nothing wrong with questioning authority. Actually, that's how power has a tendency of making all of us drunk. I don't care how holy you are. Power is going to disrupt your common sense and turn you into a flat-out dictator from day one. So the people then that question authority, the people that we label in society as stubborn, if you ask me, those are the people that keep the status quo in check. Then there are those of us that are yes machines. You know, we just go out there and say yes to everything. So the point I'm trying to make here is that disagreements is nothing. There's nothing abnormal about disagreements. Actually, disagreements are healthy. Now, anyone that have seen the movie, what's this, Why Did I Get Married Too, know that the couple that was disagreeing on pretty much everything and they were constantly fighting are the ones that are still married at the end of the movie. Those ones that were like, he's too open with me, he even gave me his email password. They are the ones that were divorcing at the end of the movie. That's still my favorite movie because it really does paint an interesting picture about human interaction, especially on an intimate level. That if you run into a couple fighting, as long as they are not exchanging blows, that's healthy. As long as it doesn't involve things like, well, even these kids that you have here, they are not yours. Hey, if you hear that, well... first of all, that marriage is over. Second of all, that marriage is over. And I can't stress this enough. Number three, that marriage is over. And most importantly, number four, that marriage is over. And number five, okay, I think you get the point at this point. Look, when I look at, when the wonderful lady that I'm just, that gave me the inspiration, at least for today's show, and yeah, HD, you too. Fine. Now, actually she got me thinking like a lot that, you know what? Every time that we disagree as countries and also as a continent, we have this tendency of thinking that the solution is somewhere out there. And that's something I actually found, at least from yesterday when the whole Eureka moment, you know, the light bulb moment, as Dwight likes to call it, popped up in my head. That we do the exact same thing about intimate relationships. As long as they are, you know, the moment a couple starts disagreeing, they start thinking, you know, screwing a babysitter will solve the problem. And boy, does it only exacerbate the problem. And then someone thinks, you know, maybe doing the pool boy will help the, you know, figure out a solution. It doesn't. And then someone thinks, maybe, just maybe, maybe doing the secretary under the desk will really, you know, be an excellent problem to this solution. And we all know it doesn't. And that's just the intimate relationship, intimate relationship scenario. And we do the exact same thing even on a family level dispute. We do the exact same thing. We have a tendency of thinking the solution is somewhere out there. We don't have the solution, but somewhere out there is a solution, which, as you can imagine, sometimes, yeah, the solution is out there. If you are going to take, for example, an intimate, using my intimate relationship example, maybe a therapist could help. Maybe a marriage counselor could help. Maybe a religious leader could help. Maybe some traditional, some traditional figure with gray hair and they are proud of their gray hair. If you are in the traditional setting and you profess to hold some wisdom of calming situations down, and I come to your place to seek some wisdom, and I find you in Brazilian, hey, I'm turning my car or my Golf 2 around at 180 degrees and going back like, seriously, what wisdom are you giving me at this point? Wisdom from virgin hair? That hair is coming from a head that doesn't know crap about life. So the fact that it's on your head just goes to show me how much, how much less you know about life. People with Brazilian hair are not gonna like my show. But anyway, I'm just here to make jokes. So if you don't find it funny, that's on your heart, not mine. Now, every time there is a disagreement, every time there is a, every time we have a problem, we think that a solution is somewhere out there. And then another biggest light bulb lit up in my head. That's the reason why we were colonized. Because a lot of African, now you have to understand that this whole nonsense of, well, before Europeans showed up, Africa was just in one giant ecumenical hug. No, we were not. We were kicking the heck out of each other on a tribal, on a tribal level, like every now and then. Have you, anyone that have read the stories of Shaka Zulu understands that that did not only take place in South Africa. That took place all across the continent, basically all across the planet. Different tribes were kicking the heck out of each other over resources. It's nothing new. Again. But then, because we could not agree on which grazing land should belong to which tribe, when Europeans showed up, then we started thinking, you know what? This problem that I have with that tribe, maybe those guys have the solution. So you have now different tribal leaders that started partnering up with Sabanje guys that were allergic to pollen, the sun, and pretty much everything associated with the African continent. They figured out, well, maybe those guys will help me fight my brothers here. Those ones that I have been my neighbor for the past 2000 years. And then, well, guess what? The other tribe thought the same thing and went to the same people to ask for help fight their neighbors. At this point, as you can imagine, picture this. If I was one of those Europeans stepping out of a ship and I haven't eaten or gotten laid for months of sailing, and two people from warring tribes approached me with the same proposal, I wouldn't pick a side. I would actually be like, hello, opportunity. Well, other people say, opportunity knocks, so make sure you are in time, you're just in time to open the door. And then there are those of us that believe that, keep the door open so that opportunity doesn't have to knock. At this point, when Europeans landed at every shore on this continent, they left the door open, and opportunities just kept, flowing in. A lot of different tribes with disagreements between, amongst each other, they started going to the same group of people for help because they, out of the kindness of their heart and some naivety of the highest order, they thought that these foreigners had the solution to their domestic problem. Well, how did that end up? Well, we ended up with colonialism. Because, in just a matter of a few decades, they realized that, the people they both looked at as a savior was actually exploiting both of them. Now, at this point, when the real wolf under the sheep's skin clothing type of cover was blown from European, that's when they went full on colonialism. They were not pulling their punches anymore. So they started basically treating everyone equally. They didn't care from what tribe you were, as long as you were black, you were subhuman. How did this start? It started because different tribal leaders thought that the problems they had with their neighboring tribes, the solution to the problem they had with their neighboring tribes was coming out of a bunch of guys allergic to the sun. It didn't end well. We ended up with colonialism. And what I even find fascinating about our history is that even in the middle of colonialism, we were still kicking the heck out of each other on a tribal basis until shortly, until later, that's when we realized that actually we have a common enemy here. That's when, liberation struggle movement now came up. And I think that's one thing that we don't talk about a lot about liberation struggle movements. It's, liberation struggle movements posed a lot of a threat to the colonizers because we were not looking at each other's different tribes anymore. We just came together, and that coming together by breaking down all the tribal barriers, we became a force to be reckoned with. To the point where even the United Nations were like, resolution 235, or we are not surviving this. You know one thing I like about that? It's because it goes to show that once we stop looking at each other as a Vambo, Damara, Kwanyama, blah, 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 or South African, Zimbabwean, Nigerian, we become a very powerful force. That means every time that we start pointing fingers at each other as you're Zimbabwean, you're Damara, you're Kavango, you're that, you're from Egypt, you're from Tunisia, you're from South Africa. As long as we keep doing that, it again goes to show just how so dumb we haven't learned anything from our history. Nada. We haven't learned anything. It's because of tribal differences, tribal warring, that we allowed an enemy to swoop in. We thought the enemy was a savior. Then we came to realize that the enemy was basically taking advantage of all of us. So, fighting this enemy on a tribe, tribe by tribe is not going to happen. It's not going to work. For us to win, we have to break down the tribal barriers and come together and fight. And we broke those tribal barriers all across the African continent. And guess what happens? Fascinating, really fascinating piece of colonial history is that the wind of change started to sweep across the African continent. Because why? Because, liberation struggle movement started sweeping across the African continent. Because why? Angolans were like, you know what? You're coming from Namibia, but well, as long as you are black, you're my brother. Come in here. I will give you refugee. And then, well, a lot of military training and military camps of Namibian freedom fighters are found in Angola. And then the Zambians were like, well, we are Zambian, you're Namibian, you're Angolan. We can do this. But what we first have to do is identify that we have a common goal. Independence. Now, and then a lot of African countries started achieving independence one after another. At this point, I'm thinking, so if these guys figured out the fact that breaking down their tribal barriers was going to bring about the wind of change you know, the liberation movement across the continent, if they figured out much sooner, we would have gotten our independence even much sooner.
There's no price like the ShopRite price. That's why we're committed to bringing you lower prices on all the essentials you need. Like 2-litre Rite brand sunflower seed oil for only 68 Namibian dollars 99 each. And mutton pack, only 89 Namibian dollars 99 per kg. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 6 July 2025. Only at ShopRite.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa vera etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM the eye. The eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, and where was I? If these guys figured out that tribal differences, or more like any national differences, was the reason why there was no effectiveness in, you know, there was no effectiveness in the liberation movements of different countries, if they figured out that part sooner, we would have gotten our independence very much sooner. Now, that's something that I really, really, really wish we all have, you know, would have learned from the, you know, from our colonial history. Although, you know, from colonial, you know, from colonialism just all the way down to, you know, all the way down to to fight of, fight for the liberation struggle of our respective countries. You know, which people have not learned that? Us. We have not learned a thing. Nope. We want a united Africa. We have a pan-African parliament. We want a united Africa. But here's one thing though, I will totally agree with you. An Africa united by economy, I will support that. An Africa united by, you know, an Africa united politically, yeah, not a chance. First of all, I'm one of those people that, that believes that, Africa is a continent of, like 1 point something billion people. That's a lot of economic power in the hands of one man. Everyone can, power can make everyone drunk. Like I said, I don't know, some of the most diabolical rulers on this planet believed, you know, had a very active religious life. So that's what power does to you. Power uncontrolled, power undiluted is a bad idea. In the hands of anyone, I don't care how holy you think you are. Now, this brings me to today's conversation. You know, like, why I basically laid that as a foundation because of what happened. Because of what happened was that last week. Representatives of DRC and Rwanda signed a peace deal in the US. This peace deal was put in motion somewhere around March. If you realize during the whole escalation of the war in Eastern DRC back, you know, earlier this year, especially somewhere around February, the representatives of East African Community and the representatives of SADC, Suluhu Hassan of Tanzania. And the Zimbabwean president heading SADC, Emmerson Mnangagwa, came up with a diplomatic solution to this problem. Like, and by the way, that's not the first peace deal being made by these two countries. They've made several and they've broken several of them. Now, this one is quite interesting because, and it also makes me, you know, reminded me of why I love that 5% of Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump doesn't know how to hide information. No. It's like, well, DRC and Rwanda, we have just brokered a deal between these two countries. They are now going to live in peace. And of course, it will give us access to a lot of their resources. It's like, aha! That's my boy. That's Trump. He's a very honest businessman. He was like, well, we just brokered the deal. But I'm not going to lie to you. This is not because a human rights violation is partly part of it. But everyone knows we don't care about that, seeing how we are funding Israel to do the opposite of, exactly that in Gaza. So if we cared about human rights, now that's one thing that actually goes to show you that, if Trump cared about human rights to the point of brokering a deal, I'm sure that's a peace deal, I'm sure that's the correct term, brokering a peace deal between the DRC and Rwanda. If human rights was the driving factor, there would be a peace deal in Gaza. But there is none because, well, Gaza doesn't have the natural resources DRC has. So now you see that, Trump is an awesome dude. He was just like, we brokered the peace deal. Well, the atrocities are going to stop, which is an amazing thing. Losing lives is not something anyone is looking forward to. But you can't sign peace deals like that and then turn around and say you want to be independent. Like, the heck? Dude, no! You're not going to be independent. And everyone, this is the genius part about that deal. Everyone knows that a lot of Western multinational corporations has been basically stealing minerals out of the DRC. They have been, like, for a very long time, since Belgian occupation. And since also one of our own, aka Mobutu Seko, thought that the solution to the DRC problem was somewhere out of Belgium. Then they came to realize that, actually it's not. The reason why I like to use Mobutu Seko, especially in reference to in reference to two examples that I've already used, and that's, the opposition parties the non-proponents of both Gaddafi's regime and Saddam Hussein's regime, those guys thought the solution to their country was somewhere out there, and boy, were they wrong. And they found out the hard way that actually, no. And the same thing that you see with Iran today. Now, for them to gather, for the Israelis, or basically Western intelligence, to gather the intelligence they've already, they gathered on Iran, they must have inside people. And that's where the John Bethel Bukasa and Mobutu Seseko and the Blaise Compaoré now of Burkina Faso now comes in. A lot of people in, you know, a lot of people in different countries have personal goals. Like, as long as I become in, you know, as long as I'm given, you know, there are people that will want to put their hands, more like put their feet in the, you know, in the executive office, cost what it may. In other words, as long as me and my homies are good, I don't care if I become a dictator and basically dissolve everyone that disagrees with me in acid. Now, that's why I'm saying that, if you look at power from a black and white versus, Chinese and Indian perspective, you are going to miss a lot of important points, which are, people, each and every single one of us, we're all greedy. Greedy is inherent in all of us. Find the nicest guy today, give him power, you'll be amazed as to what type of a moron he turns into after that. It's fascinating. That's one of the reasons why I like human behavior. Now, one example, back in March,
my friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
And one thing I almost forgot. Those of you that started making your money during the colonial regime, and those of you that are black, let me be specific. Those of you that are black and you started making your money during colonial regime because you were agreeing to everything. You were the reason why it took us very long to get our independence. You're so lucky I love my salary. They also, so, you know, you're so lucky I'm broke. Now, you are the reason why it took us very long to, you know, to gain our independence. Because you kept saying, well, as long as I'm doing business with them, I don't care what they're doing. And they were busy oppressing your own people and you didn't care. Actually, you know, there's something important about that type of, you know, people with that character. I mean, those are the people that become billionaires. You know, those ones that turn a blind eye to anything that threatens their interests. Those are the people that become excellent politicians. Because to be on that level of wealth, you know, you have to be,
diabolical, Lee. Subservient to the status quo.
Something Dan Korda and Trevor Noah pointed out was that, I'm yet to run into any white person, white people, this one is for you. I'm yet to run into any white person that, will say straight to my face that, you know what? I voted for the apartheid regime. These guys will be like, well, you know what? You know, democracy, Namibia, blah, blah, blah. Democracy, South Africa, democracy, Africa. Let's face it. You guys are the ones that kept the system of apartheid, or basically the system of colonialism in place, because you were benefiting something that you didn't care what was being done outside. Now, this is where, you know, outside your comfort zone. You're willing to turn a blind eye every time that, you know, kangaroo courts, court proceedings were going on every time someone of a different, you know, someone who was not white was accused of a crime. I know. So human beings are the dumbest idiots on the planet. I can't believe we run around with our, you know, piece of papers, which we printed ourselves, by the way. And we started calling ourselves educated. What? No, you're not. We are the only species with thousands, if not millions of different weapons that we use to kill each other. From okapi to nuclear weapons, hydrogen bomb, bullets from 9mm to 50 caliber, submachine gun, you name it. Tank. We are the only species with our, you know, description of, or more like a self-proclamation of highly evolved and heavily intelligent than other animals. We are the ones with like millions of different weapons and millions of different ways to kill each other. Isn't that fascinating? Like, it's really amazing. I'm yet to see an animal that is also a pedophile. Actually, penguins are known to do dead penguins. So that one is a very, very, they're not cute and cuddly at all. It turns out they are not. They are not. Never. Not penguins, believe me. Someone pointed out that to me. And it's like, ouch. I mean, I liked Skipper, Kloski. Is it Koski? Skipper, Koski, and Private. Now, where was I? Africans thinking, and actually not just Africans, this is the world over. This is a problem with humanity. That's why I don't subscribe to the whole idea of this race is better than that. No, we're all idiots. With all our PhD, light skin, black skin, long nose, short, wide nose, we're still morons. And we are very good at one thing you have to understand about human beings is that we'll do anything to gain an unfair advantage. Slavery is because so we don't have to pay workers. And we have been enslaving each other for as long as we have been in existence. And then we are very good at coming up with different names, though, or for making ourselves feel better. Every government on this planet, believe it or not, they take some of the worst killers and thieves and then give them a job and tell them you work for the intelligent community. No, he doesn't. He works for thieves and killers, you know. Places where you won't send the army, you sent guys with a plausible deniability. And that's when I came to realize, now don't get me wrong, I like being a human being because, well, I got to get laid and get drunk and all that. But the point is, also other animals do that, and also getting drunk and more like getting high, dolphins also do that. Interesting enough. But I don't claim to have the solution to all the world problems. What am I? I don't even work for a peacekeeping organization. Actually, I do. It's called Eagle FM. But, the point is, I just like to observe these things and point them out because I feel like they are really fascinating. Really fascinating. How before the invasion of Libya, a lot of people in Libya were cheering on the invasion of their own country, and they thought it was going to be a brilliant idea. I mean, just a couple of bombs exploding here and there, and then once Gaddafi is out of power, the guy that we want will take over power, and then we'll live happily ever after. We'll join the World Economic Trade and everything, and organization and everything, and then we'll live happily ever after. They were wrong. Iraq, Same WhatsApp group. A lot of people in that country were cheering on the invasion of the US and were like, you know what? They are bringing us democracy. Let's get rid of this dictator. Well, were Gaddafi and Saddam good leaders? I don't know. I've never been to their countries. Actually, when these countries were invaded, the first time I read about the invasion of, the first time, at least that I know, the US invaded Iraq was during Desert Storm in 1991. That's when I was born. So, I didn't pay any attention to this, but now that I'm at this age, reading through it all, I can't help I love puzzles. I love puzzles. I have a collection of Rubik's Cube, so it's just my favorite thing to sort of like, it's beautiful. Now, here's the beautiful part of it, though. If the Iraqi opposition leaders and followers of those opposition leaders were wrong about the invasion of the 2003 invasion, because they thought, well, they would just come in and bomb. Now, for those ones now, on the other hand, I'm not sure if I can give them a break, because there was an invasion in 1991. Now, you'd think they would have learned a thing or two from that. Clearly, they didn't. The same thing happens in 2003. They supported it again. They know. It's fascinating. And, well, in Libya, on the other hand, it's one interesting scenario, because, a lot of people that were not happy with the way that Gaddafi was doing things were like, you know what? I'm sure the solution is somewhere out there. They were also wrong. And now back to our colonial history and different tribal wars that pushed us into, both of us actually, to start thinking that, European settlers were going to provide a solution to our tribal fighting. No, they didn't. They just became one heck of a bigger problems than we could individually deal with, to the point where we had to come together to deal with that problem, because it was that massive. Now, you'd think we would have learned a thing or two from that. And no, we didn't. To this day, we are still going, you are from Zimbabwe, you are from South Africa, you are from that tribe, you are from that religion, you are from this stuff. Every time I hear those things, I'm like, no, we haven't learned. Not at all. We haven't learned. We have not learned. You know what's going to happen? We are going to descend into chaos. And 100 years from now, some one comedian by 2100 will be saying the exact same thing I'm saying today. That our ancestors, all they had to do was come together and figure out a solution within. Because whatever problem they were going through, they thought the solution was out there, but then they realized that out there were more problems than solutions. Again, if I was running the US government right now, like Trump is, and believe me, one, I would have accepted the golden plated plane. It's not gold plated. Highly customized plane. I would have gold plated, gold plated toilets. Guys, if you are going to kill people in developing countries to steal gold, at least use it for something important. A toilet? Really? Thousands of people died for you to get to that gold, so you can poop on it? It must be nice being rich. Fascinating. There's one guy somewhere in the Middle East with gold-plated notes, like bank notes. There are only like two of these in the world. And he keeps them in a vault. That's important. How? Yeah, well, it's just nice knowing that I'm the only one that has this, these notes in this, in the world. So again, we are back to just how dumb human beings are. Someone spent millions, if not billions of dollars to get to that gold so they can keep it in a vault. Just for status. Someone spent billions of dollars and caused the death of thousands, if not millions of people to get to the gold so they can, cover their toilet with gold. That is human nature. Believe me. This whole educated thing,
Well, that's like calling yourself handsome. No one is going to argue with us. I'm sure somewhere out there are a bunch of aliens going like, "Ash, yeah, no, we're not landing on that planet." It's like when you're driving, to your destination, there are some villages just, you just won't stop there. Because, here, if I stop here, if I just stop here to go and pee when I come back, my wheels are gone. And the same thing. In pretty much every urban area, there are places that are avoided at any cost because, well, the places are just known to contain people that are nuts. More nuts than regular nuts. But because regularly we're all nuts. Now, every time I look at that, every time I look at, the tribal fighting that pushed us into colonialism, because it was tribal fighting that pushed us into colonialism, because, we have been fighting each other for a very long time. We thought that, the solution was somewhere out there. Well, we ended up, what we were looking for was a solution. We ended up with colonialism. And then we started, coming together. And when we came together, we thrived. Now, you have to understand that we had to break a lot of barriers to pull, to pull the liberation movements off. Zambians had to welcome Tanzanians and Angolians, Namibians. They had to welcome them and give them safe haven. Mozambicans had to welcome South Africans. There are South African, there's one or two South African ladies, white, that I know of, that were killed, with parcel bombs, which was the method of operation for the apartheid South Africa's intelligence, where they would just send you a package that has some kind of IED. And when you opened it, it blew up. They were killed. In South Africa, there are some that were killed in Angola. And when you look at it like that, you begin to realize that human beings are the worst. So anyone that have seen Avengers, Age of Ultron, totally understand Ultron's idea. First of all, Ultron was built to protect humanity and the planet from all threats. Quote, reference to all, the word all threats. When Ultron came live, went on the internet and realized, learned one thing. The biggest threat to mankind is mankind. So by his programming, he found, when he reached a solution that to solve the problem of humanity was to, well, kill every idiot with 32 teeth and 2 legs and 5 fingers. That had a PhD. Basically any idiot that spoke language like every human being. I know. It's interesting. Now, what other scenario do you think, example do you think where Africans thought the problems they were going through, and this one is on our leaders now. And this is a late 2000s, late 1990s, early 2000s. Fascinating story. Now, this is around the same time that we are witnessing the creation of the International Criminal Court. And in March of 2016, when Mehdi Hassan was still with Al Jazeera, he said with a former International Criminal Court, the chief prosecutor, Maureen Ocampo. And the discussion was, is the ICC biased against African leaders? It's an 11 minutes video. That you'll find fascinating. Now, one of the questions that Mehdi Hassan, obviously that was the question overall. But as part of a response, Ocampo pointed out that, look, We did not approach African leaders and ask them to join the International Criminal Court. They approached us and said, well, we have a lot of dictators, not in these words exactly, but they were basically saying we have a lot of dictators on our continent. Why don't you, Brussels, come and help us? Why don't you, Netherlands, come and help us? Well, these dictator problems, we can't solve it. Please come and help us. And a lot of multinational corporations were like, hang on a second. There are resources we want to get through and we want to make sure we have the right parties in the executive office of the countries where these resources are. So what we're going to do is, we admit all of them. And they were all admitted. And except for Eritrea, I think, minus give or take a few countries, the U.S. signed, I think, but they have not ratified the Rome Statute. In other words, the organization that is supposed to help, spread democracy, the biggest spreaders of democracy, spreaders, are not signatory to it. Ouch. I know, that's another scenario where African leader, again, just getting out of independence. I know. I mean, just getting out of colonialism, not independence, just getting out of colonialism, having learned nothing, they made the exact same mistake. And I sat there watching the whole DRC and, the whole DRC and Rwanda's signature somewhere in Washington and going, man, I love human beings. They never learn. Especially Africans. Nah, I never learn. This is where I love Homo Deus now. Now, Homo Deus is the title of the book by Yuval Noah Harari, an Israeli philosopher. That guy, I don't know how he did, but he's a very, he's a very smart guy with a shiny head. In Homo Deus, Yuval Noah Harari is writing Homo Deus the same way that the Prince wrote Machiavelli. The other way around. Machiavelli wrote the Prince. He's not pulling his punches. He's just describing to you. He's breaking down power to its bare bone. He's not sugarcoating it. He's just explaining to you how power actually works. And people in power, the reason why they have old money is because they don't pick a side. They don't have a side. The only side they are going to pick is the one that has their interest. Not the side that has their, not the side that, that have, not the side that worship their God, or the side that, or the side that subscribe to the political ideology, the side that has their interest. If you have our interest, we're good. Not the side that have similar skin color to them. They don't care about skin color. They don't care about religion. They care about are our interests safe or not? If it's not safe, it doesn't matter if they're all white. War is gonna break out. How do you explain Russia and Ukraine? That has nothing to do with race. Because last time I checked, Russia and Ukraine is the best example of a war between a bunch of white guys. The key is interest. If you threaten my interest, I don't care if we're from the same family, we're getting in a fight. That's how capitalism operates. Diabolical, but actually that's how it operates. So when a lot of people say that, this guy is just evil, maybe that's why he's successful. Actually, one thing I have come to learn, I don't have any experience in the corporate world. I've never worked in the corporate world, but from just reading a bunch of books, reading a bunch of books like Vulture Capitalism by one wonderful lady coming out of the UK, pointed out that, basically in a lot of words, in a lot of pages, pointed out that the corporate world is just savage by nature. That means, not by nature, it's not natural, it's by design. So if you are nice and you found yourself in the corporate world, you'll be eaten for breakfast. So, for you to live longer in the corporate world, you will have to join the same trait of people that are already thriving in that environment, which is you will have to be brutal. You have to. It's not your choice. You have to be brutal. Because that's the first thing that the environment requires
You can't go in the desert and say, you know what, I'll not dehydrate. You know, I'll just be perfectly fine because, well, because I'm black, I'm from Africa, the desert knows me, Baba, you're gonna die. You need water. For you to hike through and, to hike, you need water. And you need even more water if you're going to hike through an arid environment like a desert. That's basically, from my understanding, or more like from my observation, how the corporate world works. You can't afford to be nice. Again, you're going to be eaten for breakfast. So let me play just a few, you know, let me take maybe two or three minutes out of this audio, and I'm now having a problem picking one. Right, let's start from there. The voice you're listening to, from is one of, former chief prosecutor of the International Criminal Court. The first, that's, Marino Ocampo, pointing out just, one of the reasons why you should agree with that comedian that rumbles a lot from 9:30 to 11 on Eagle FM over why you should, the solutions are not out there. The solutions are here. ESO. They dehaze. Take a listen.
Central African Republic twice, all these countries request first. And for all. It's fantastic. Look, we're in Africa, Sudan, and we are doing nothing. Where are the African leaders controlling Bashir in Sudan? Nowhere.
But it's not just the Sudanese who are making this argument. The Ethiopian foreign minister said last year that the ICC is no longer a court for all.
It's fantastic. Look, we're in Africa for two reasons. The crimes, the most serious crime under ICC jurisdiction are in Africa. And African leaders joined the ICC first. And in addition, African leaders requested the court intervention. We're in Africa because Uganda, Congo, Mali, Ivory Coast, Central African Republic twice, all these countries request a co-intervention, Comoros, and then...
They came to the ICC and
they request a co-intervention.
Mahmoud Mamdani, Africa is where the worst crimes occur. African governments all happily signed up to the ICC. They requested the ICC to get involved. There is no bias here, and it's hypocrisy to say otherwise, says Luis.
African countries joined the ICC almost unthinkingly, I would say. Experience has taught us a lesson.
Why unthinkingly? They
were... Unthinkingly because of one reason, which is that when you target a head of state, you are not just targeting an individual as an alleged perpetrator, you are also targeting the sovereignty of the country.
No.
If you take the U.S., for example, if the president of the U.S. commits a crime, you cannot take him to court. He has to be impeached first. And he can only be taken to court as a private individual. The ICC targets not only perpetrators, but Africa's sovereignty.
Yes, head of state.
That is not acceptable.
Sorry.
And should not be acceptable.
They signed it. The treaty is very clear. There is no impunity.
They read
the statute and they signed it. And in fact, Mandela was the one pushing for it. This is a map organized by Uppsala Institute showing where the crimes are committed. And when you see where the crimes are committed today, many are in Africa, many are in Asia.
They signed it. So if you are going to, if you're one of those people that are pursuing politics, you want to be a career politician, a career politician, you have to understand one thing about the world of politics. And that's whatever fantasy you've been fed out of, I'm afraid, include, politics, whatever school you went to study in, you have to, there are a few books I can recommend. I'm sure a lot of you, especially those of that are doing political science, if you are doing political science and you don't know how politics really work,
Please drop out. I'm begging you for the sake of your sanity, because at this point you're nuts. Politics is every movement, more like every structure built on ideology, is having more like two sources of knowledge. There's one that's hidden, and then the external one. In this, occult world, they call it esoteric and exoteric. It's a whole different, Masonic lingo I picked up. It's fascinating to read. But you don't worry, they're not joining any, hardcore religious organization anytime soon. I like screwing up without being told, and I'm gonna be dead in 100 years, so who cares? In reality, the world, actually, this is the painful part of, our education systems now. Has anyone tried to find out what type of history, or more like what type of the black people's perspective was being taught in white schools during the apartheid South Africa, and extend Namibia into that because we're Southwest Africa? What do you think, do you think anything in those history books that were taught to those poor white students was true? Because, these were white children that were getting the perspective of black people from white adults that hated black people. It's like consulting me to tell you about my ex. What's the nicest thing do you think I'm gonna say? Absolutely nothing. Why? Well, it's my ex. You gave me a microphone and an opportunity to basically point out just how, terrible she's, and actually she was, she cooked a lot. But but anyway. Oh yeah. Pancakes master. Down memory lanes for me. Thank heavens there is no mind reader for that one. You'd all end up in therapy. So, the point is, what Mr. Ocampo is pointing out here is that, first of all, we, as Africans, including yours truly, Nelson Mandela, thought, and this is someone that spent 27 years behind bars and got out of there and had not learned anything about solving problems. Like Dave Chappelle once said, modern problems requires modern solutions. Translate that to replace the word modern with Africa. African problems requires African solutions. My problem is a lot of African leaders think African solutions to African problems are out there. And they actually not just are solutions to African problems out there. All solutions to African problems are out there. Which is why, it's the first thing that came in my head when the Minister of Finance was going, we couldn't borrow money here because it's too expensive. So that's why we went to Germany. Like, excellent. That's another typical example of thinking, African problems are not here. African solutions are not here. African solutions are out there. Again, foreign direct investment. See, African problems need African solutions, but the solutions are out there. Now, health. All the high profile African guys, where do they send their kids? Outside of Africa. Health, outside of Africa. Education, outside of Africa. And now, what that goes to point to, again, is, if you ask me, we haven't learned a thing. African solutions are out there. Which, for me as a comedian, it's really fascinating to think about.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukulile.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity?
Welcome back. The time is 14 minutes left to the hour of 11. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM. And I'm trying to draw a parallel of just how fascinating history repeats itself. You know what? When I think of the statement that those who never learn from history are doomed to repeat it. I think this is, I often think this is history that repeats itself every 100 years. No, it doesn't. Nope. We got into colonialism because of thinking African solutions to African problems are out there, and then we came together, and then we fought, and we won, and we totally forgot. African solutions are not out there. They are right here at home. I know. Now, this is where 100% now doesn't really count, because most of the solutions to African problems are not out there. Some are out there, but not all of them. Now, I'm saying this because, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we should cordon off the whole continent as much as I would really love us to do that. I'm not saying we should cordon off the whole continent. Because believe me, if we cordon off the whole continent, we'd still survive. We'd be perfectly fine. Europe, on the other hand, doesn't stand a chance. If Europe, especially Western Europe, cordoned off, and everyone have, if every continent was cordoned off to live on its own resources. My God. Okay, I think the only white people that will survive after 100 years are those ones in Australia. Those ones that are outside of Australia. Those ones in the US also. Okay, let's take all of them to Europe. And we have a lot of problems now. We have a lot of problems. So, even though some of the solutions to the African to African problems are out there, but most of them, I would argue, are here. And we keep getting into, leadership interference trouble because we keep making the exact same mistake that got our ancestors, or more like our forefathers, into the, you know, chains of colonialism in the first place, of thinking just because I'm fighting with my neighbor, then a total stranger is going to provide a solution. Good luck with that. Because if the, you know, the colonial history is, you know, is any indication, a lot of different tribal leaders thought they could find, you know, they could find a solution to their neighbor's tribal problem from a bunch of guys that were allergic to pollen and the sun coming out of a boat. And then we ended up with a transatlantic slavery and colonialism. But nope, heaven lent. We got our independence, and the first thing we did was, well, we have a lot of dictators. That's our problem here in the continent. Where is the solution, I wonder? Right. Netherlands. Yep, it's somewhere there. We went there, and that was in the, you know, in the late 90s. And then we signed a bunch of papers, like Mr. Ocampo pointed out. And then just, 5-10 years down the line, we were like, hey, these guys are just prosecuting African leaders. These African leaders are, it's not like they are the only ones that are diabolical. This court is just made for African leaders. Quick question. When you signed this bunch of papers, what the heck were you thinking? One more question. Did you even read one of them? Or you were just signing things left, right, and center, which sounds like that's exactly what we did. And we have a tendency of doing that. We sign without reading because, well, someone promised us, you know, and plain, customized to our liking. I know. Africa is beautiful. Very beautiful. You know that prayer of mine of the live stream not starting until the end of my show? Well, it turns out some prayers work, because, well, clearly it worked. I did not think I was going to be able to go to, you know, to bend through that historical, bungee jumping, because it's more of a swing, because I'm just swinging back and forth. More of a swing than a bungee jumping. Now, let's wrap this up with something that's trending here at home. Look, I have heard of people going missing, books going missing, diamonds going missing, cattle going missing, you know. Cattle also going missing. But 400 of them? 400 cattle went missing. First of all, those cattle didn't go missing. They got eaten. This is just me correcting the grammar in the article. Although, the article, you have to understand, is written for professional reading. I'm reading it from a comedian's standpoint, how it should be written if the newspaper was written with comedy in mind. Prime Minister Elia Ngurare has written to the Ministry of Finance to demand answers on the reported 400 eaten cattle from troubled Meat Corporation of Namibia. Again, 400 cattle. Where do you hide 400 cattle for them to go missing? You ate them. It's not judging, but can we just go straight to the point here? 400 missing cattle. Replace the word missing with eaten, and the whole thing will begin to make sense. You're welcome. Mortician training at a dead end, from a young age. Look, man. Zambezi, Kavango, I can't keep defending us if we keep doing things like this. What's one thing Kavango, Zambezians, and Dongas are known for? Piloting brooms in the middle of the night. Now, because of that, Every time that I find, I come across an article that has to, you know, that's talking about something that's considered socially morbid as death. And the name there is, you know, has a little more like of a Zambezian vibe to it. I go like, oh, for the love of God, we are never getting out of this alive, are we? Mortician training at a dead end in Namibia. What does a mortician do? Basically work with a bunch of dead guys. I know this is where, you know, professionals go with people that pass away. And no, man, seriously, let's stop kidding ourselves. let me rephrase that again. You're dead. We're all gonna die. That's how I motivate myself to live my life to the fullest. That's not how I motivate myself to take my own life. Nope, nope, I'm never doing that as long as miniskirts are still in production. And those spaghetti tops that show the ultimate cleavage gives me excellent reason to keep breathing. Like every time I face the dark situation, I'm like, oh my God, I'm just gonna kill myself, go out there and see a miniskirt. I'm like, yeah, no, that, you know, killing yourself postponed. And go in town square and see cleavage. You know what? I know I'm doing that because hello. Okay, now that's getting out of hand. Was that in 2023 or 2024? Someone in Australia thought it was a brilliant idea to, you know, to make a, you know, to come up with something they're calling, you know, they now call a mirror bar, where everything from the seats to the floor and everything around the counter and everything is made out of mirrors. Okay, I have a few theories. I'm not very strong on clubbing, but whoever came up with that idea have never gotten drunk. I have. Believe me, one mirror is scary. Thousands of them. That's problem number one. Whoever came up with that idea have never gotten drunk. Clearly. And that business is not going to thrive, because in a place that's entirely made out of mirror, all you have to do to get drunk is just walk in there and you're drunk. Therefore, no alcohol needed. So that's a terrible business model. That's the second one. The third one. Have you seen skirts people wear when they're going clubbing? You really think making the floor out of mirrors is a brilliant idea? It's a brilliant idea if you're a pivot. But it's not a very brilliant idea. Actually, believe me, ladies, believe me. That's every straight guy's dream club. We just want to go there. And believe me, if you took a bunch of straight guys in that club, in a club that's made out of where the floor is made out of a mirror, and you put money on the ceilings, those guys will never see the money on the ceiling. Because, well, their eyes will be very focused on a very, 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 very dirty-minded thing. Again, this one thing, every time I point that out, I have to point out one fact on the table. We are not broken. No. That's how we were wired to function. We were wired to function, you know, we were wired to start drooling every time we see cleavage. The same way that when you walk past KFC and it smells like danged wings, you just can't help but go, hello, month, and how, why the heck are you far? Now, you don't decide whether you should smell something delicious or not. You know, it's just a natural response to a natural stimuli. If you are sitting in a room and someone releases some, very unpleasant gas, you don't decide whether should I smell this gas or not. No! You're just gonna smell it. And it's the same with us. As soon as we see, a miniskirt with cleavage, we don't decide whether or not we should drool. No! By the time we realize, the saliva is halfway through our chin and the ground. So, we're not broken anything. If anything, we're perfectly fine. Thank you. We're not broken. We're perfectly fine. So, coming in is my wifey. How are you? So these genius guys that came up with the idea of making making a club out of mirrors, like a floor, ceiling, you know, table, seats, counter, everything is made out of mirrors. So, what do you go to that bar?
Everything is made out of the mirrors.
Uh-huh.
So everything is see-through.
I'm glad you figured that part out.
I think I would. I don't want to sound, you know,
crazy,
worrisome to you, like, huh? But yeah, I have a very inquisitive mind.
Worrisome, sweetheart, we're way past that.
I don't want to worry. I don't want to concern you. Like, okay, what wife is this? But yeah, I have a very inquisitive mind, so I would definitely go.
Oh, yeah, I also have a very inquisitive mind. I'll go there because I know most people like to go to clubs in miniskirts. And if the floor is made out of a mirror, hello!
You're going to see things.
I'm like, okay, so actually, I don't want to be drunk in that bar because, you know, I want to focus. And I think whoever came up with that idea have never gotten drunk.
Oh, wow.
Wifey?
I'm going to mute this now.
Thank you. Here's the thing. Anyone that have gotten drunk knows that being surrounded by mirrors is probably not a good idea.
Yeah, no, it's not. Nope. To be honest, that's a hazard.
First of all, you are already seeing multiples of you. Throw in a mirror and you have a catastrophe.
Did you watch Mr. Ibu?
Which one?
The first one. I think it's the first one where there's a drunk scene. Where he's drunk.
Yeah, where he comes from drunk and then, he finds, I think his son sneaks up on him and then he runs like a super guy.
No. That scene, he was buying something. He wouldn't go buy something. And then he was intoxicated most.
Uh-huh.
And then he kept on seeing like the seller. he kept on seeing the seller photocopying himself. And then he asks the seller,
oh, yeah, who should I give the money?
Who am I supposed to give the money here? Is it you? Is it you? Is it you? So just imagine now.
Throwing a mirror.
Being in that condition where you are seeing triple things and then being in around mirrors. No, that's a hazard.
Nah, that's a bad idea.
Catastrophic.
Well, we can go to Australia. Actually, there's one in, I think it's going to be, you know, a thing in the next 5-10 years.
Like mirrors in clubs?
Yeah. Believe me, straight guys, on behalf of straight guys, believe me, who would love clubs like that. There's one lady, I think that was I think you guys should study how a straight guy's mind works. This lady was like, you know what, if ladies, if guys can walk around bare-chested, then women should, women can do that too.
Yes, women can do that. I don't know why I can.
Hey, thank you.
Like, if I was to be given an opportunity, like, going to the Himba, I want to go to that place.
Uh-huh.
So they dress me up as a Himba and just leave my boobs out hanging.
Here's the thing, sweetheart. There is not a single straight guy on this planet that will oppose that idea.
Yes.
Every straight guy will be like, actually, human rights here, you know, is needed. Oh, yeah. Get off them shirts. Yeah. You know, like I pointed out earlier, we are not broken. This is how this is how we are wired. And, we like working. Actually, if I saw boobs and I was not, activated in any way, I'll be worried.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it starts, when it starts causing some commotion somewhere, that's when I'm like, well, still works. Turns out still works. All right. It's Zumasalicho time, 3 minutes past the hour of 11. The live stream, have not started. I think it's going to start. At least I think it's going to start somewhere halfway, if not, into Zumasalicho show. So for me, until tomorrow, same time, same place on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM.
It is bye-bye.
Adios. It is a bye-bye.
Ciao.
Hey.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tero ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite okoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Igel FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwa tafano na Monika ko Igel FM onore tatu imwe mbali heali nola natu. Heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Igel FM the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Igel FM Namibia.
Igel FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.